All right, Alexander, let's talk about the UK tier four lockdown and Boris Johnson's decision to place the UK in, well, the UK, major urban areas in the UK, specifically London, if I'm not mistaken, in a tier four lockdown. And of course, they found a new strain of the thing. And I'll call it the thing. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, there was actually a movie called The Thing way back in the day, a really good horror movie.
I
So we'll
remember
call it,
it.
we'll call it The Thing. And the way Boris went about it, we're not going to get into the science or anything of that. But in my opinion, I think the way Boris went about it was a complete lie. Because I remember a week and a half ago, he said, "I'm not going to shut down Christmas." I'm paraphrasing. He said, "I'm not going to shut down Christmas. Everything's going to be fine." And then in one day, it's everything shut down, and that was that. And so, I mean, it's gotten to the point where he may have just he's done. He may have just finished his himself from the political scene. Of course, that means a lot of things for Brexit and other issues that are still pending. But that was just his decision to do what he did, I think, was a fatal mistake. I wonder who consulted him to do it.
Well, Lynn, that's a very good question because, in fact, I think you're actually underestimating the disaster that we have had over the last few days. The first thing to say is that Boris Johnson has been repeatedly reassuring the nation that though there will be restrictions across Britain during Christmas, they would be of a certain reasonably moderate course. In fact, there would even be a certain relaxation over Christmas so that people could actually enjoy Christmas. And people were making their plans on that basis. There was this concept of bubbles. That sounds very strange, but the idea is that a bubble would be a group of people who would be able to meet together on a reasonably structured and regular basis because they knew each other, they weren't contacting others, they were reasonably safe. And that would mean that people would have access to their families, to their close friends. People did Christmas shopping. There were even some people that I know with plans to do journeys for Christmas. And in the run-up to Christmas, we had debates, including one in the House of Commons, where Boris Johnson was up against Keir Starmer, the Labour leader. Keir Starmer was calling for lockdowns. And was saying that you can't possibly have the situation with the thing circulating and go on and celebrate Christmas. And Boris Johnson actually, this is last week, actually got up and said to the House of Commons that it would be inhuman to cancel Christmas and appeared categorically and emphatically to rule it out. And then Saturday came, the weekend, the day just after Parliament, the House of Commons has ceased to sit. And bear in mind that there is a large number of Conservative MPs who are making their frustrations with the restrictions increasingly known and who are increasingly unhappy about them. Anyway, Saturday came. Parliament had risen for the Christmas break. And over the course of Saturday, without any real explanation, we had this announcement that the whole of the southeast of England, the major metropolitan centres of England, had been put on something called Tier 4. We've had up to then Tier 1s, 1, 2, and 3, which basically staggered how tight the restrictions were. Tier 4 is effectively or essentially another lockdown. And of course, London, where I live, is now in Tier 4. So this was announced without any real warning on Saturday, just a few days before Christmas, at a time when many people had made their plans. I know of one particular instance when people who were part of a inverted commas bubble were actually meeting on Saturday for a kind of pre-Christmas meal and party. And that meant that since it came into effect at midnight, that whole thing had to be curtailed because otherwise staying together would have meant people breaking the law, or at least So we are told, because we are not even sure to what extent these new regulations are backed by law. And of course, it was all justified on the basis of a new strain of the thing, which has been in circulation since possibly November, perhaps even earlier, perhaps October, perhaps even September, some people are saying. And we're told suddenly and out of nowhere that this thing is circulating, that it's a lot more dangerous. And in fact, that's now become the justification for these new restrictions. To say that people are angry and upset and demoralized and distressed, you cannot overstate it, because, and this, by the way, covers everyone, both those who take this pandemic issue very seriously and who are inclined to support lockdowns, and those who oppose them. Everybody is upset and angry. No one is pleased. The people who tend to support lockdowns say, well, why was the country lied to? Why was this not introduced much sooner? The government again delayed. It's clearly a case of Boris Johnson being afraid of his own Conservative backbenchers and resisting making decisions for political reasons up to the point where he feels he can make those decisions, but doing so in a way that causes the maximum disruption and chaos to people. In other words, they're saying Boris Johnson lied. These are the people who are supporters of lockdowns that I'm talking about. And the growing number of people who are opposed to lockdowns are saying, once again, from a different perspective, they also have been feel that they have been lied to, that they've been told stories about, you know, Christmas, there being a relaxation for Christmas. They made plans on that basis. They prepared their lives. They intended to meet their families. Some of them indeed intended to go on journeys over Christmas. And they feel that yet again, Boris Johnson says one thing one day, something completely different the next day. But the result is that no one can prepare. No one has any real certainty of what is happening. And their lives over Christmas have been turned completely upside down. So everyone across the entire political spectrum, leavers, remainers, lockdown supporters, lockdown skeptics, people on the right, people on the left, everybody across England is upset and angry at this time. And I have to say that it has, in my opinion, undoubtedly accelerated the departure point of Boris Johnson from Downing Street. I think his errors and mistakes and bungles are steadily stacking up. And I think he is alienating more and more people around him. He has a very weak cabinet. Who his advisors are, nobody is sure. It's said increasingly that he listens to the advice of the last person in the room and then contradicts it the following day. And people are starting to question increasingly, even those who have supported him up to now, whether or not he's fit to be prime minister. By the way, we've also, over the course of the last few hours, heard about another Boris Johnson U-turn. This is now in the Brexit negotiations. He said that, you know, Britain would stay solid on fishing. And I previously, in other programmes we've done, discussed what an emotive issue fishing is for the British people, even though it is economically not so important. He said that the British should be allowed to retain at least 60% of the fish catch that takes place in their own waters, in their seas around them, within their own economic zone. He's now told the EU that he's been prepared to cut that down to 35%. So he's agreed a very steep reduction. He's made a major concession on that. Maybe it's not the most important issue in the Brexit negotiations, but it shows to many people again where the concessions are coming from. They're coming from the British side. Johnson is again doing in relation to those negotiations, things he said he wouldn't do.
Yeah, Boris Johnson is folding. He is folding like origami. He wouldn't have made those concessions if he was a strong leader. He just would have gotten the UK out, because we're now at year 4 or 5 and it's just become, it's become a joke. Brexit has become a joke. And I wanted to ask you about Brexit and the UK economy. But my first question to you, before you get into the UK economy and Brexit and what effect this will have, you mentioned Brexit a little bit. Who is he listening to? His fiance? Is he listening to globalists? Have the globalists planned for him to get out? I mean, I'm not trying to be conspiracy theorist-like, but it just seems to me that these moves are so dumb, because anybody, even myself, if I was sitting in the room, and I know nothing about UK politics per se, but if I was sitting in the room, I would say, well, Boris, I mean, a decision like this to go into tier four, you're going to probably alienate the people that believe in the lockdowns and the people that don't believe in the lockdowns. And it seems to me that it's a lose-lose on every front. So better to maybe figure out a different way to go about whatever it is you're trying to achieve, whatever. I mean, I'm kind of making stuff up a little bit, but you know, it just seems that the people that are advising him to purposefully make very bad decisions that benefit no one in UK society, absolutely zero people, except maybe the very, very upper echelon of the elitists and globalists, who I am certain, before you answer my questions, I'm absolutely certain, don't be surprised if in a week or two we don't get some story of some MP or somebody high up in the Boris cabinet breaking these rules. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
No, not at all. Can I just say, I mean, I think that he has definitely been weakened ever since he became ill. I think he is definitely getting advice from his fiancée, Carrie Simmons, which I don't think is always, well, I'm sure it's not good advice. I mean, if I could just say a few things about her. I know nothing about her. I'm making no comment about her as a human being or as a person. I know that she's a very political person, but the fact is she's relatively young. She's relatively inexperienced. I'm not sure that she's the right person to be providing political advice to the Prime Minister. I mean, but I have no doubt that she does give him advice, and it is fairly well known that she is very much on the liberal side of the Conservative Party. So I think she's giving him advice, and I suspect that's probably not the right advice. That is one thing. The second thing is that Johnson, ever since November, when he was persuaded to part with his chief political advisor, Dominic Cummings, has frankly looked adrift. I think it's become increasingly clear that without Cummings, he is not really sure what he's doing. So he's making decisions basically on the fly from one day to the next without any real sign of any overall overarching coherent strategy anymore. He listens, as people say, to the last person in the room. And of course, it depends very much on who controls his appointment diary, which is now very much the officials, the full-time officials in Downing Street, who that last person in the room is. But you're absolutely right. His decision to bring these rules, this enormous swathe of rules on Saturday, it's enraged the pro-lockdown supporters, who say these things should have been brought a long time earlier. And it's, for obvious reasons, enraged the lockdown sceptics, because they question why these restrictions should have been brought at all. Moreover, doing it in that way, without first informing European leaders, without preparing the country, without speaking to other governments, it opened the way for the European Union, or for the various important states within the European Union, to twist the knife on Britain in the run-up to Christmas by imposing across-the-board travel bans. So it's now absolutely impossible, if you're British, to travel to any European country, something which we did not even have during the worst period of the lockdowns in the spring and summer. And again, if people tell you that this is nothing to do with Brexit, and this isn't another way of exerting pressure on the British in the run-up to the Brexit deadline, then I have a bridge to sell you. Because, as is, I think, fairly well known, the reality is that this new variant of the thing is already present in Europe already. One of the reasons why we know about this variant of the thing in Britain is because the British, who have very, very good geneticists, do far more tests for variations on the thing than other countries do. So they picked it up sooner. But Denmark, for example, has also picked it up. And Denmark, let's remember, is not Britain. It's got a land border. It's part of the continental EU. And if it's in Denmark, it's almost certainly everywhere else too. So, I mean, and I'm sure that the European leaders all know that. So this thing, this thing that's being used to justify all these travel bans is, I'm afraid, shall we say, an excuse. The reality is this gave the Europeans the perfect opportunity to tighten up on the British, to put the squeeze on the British in the days before Brexit, before the economic Brexit that's due to happen on the 31st of December. And it was Boris Johnson who gave them that opportunity. And notice he said nothing about it.
Yeah, I mean, Boris Johnson completely stigmatized the entire UK population. I mean, stigmatized them. It's all over the news. Don't even get within 100 feet of someone who's from the UK now. I mean, everyone is just going, is losing their effing mind. It's this is beyond, we've lost all ability to think logically or with any common sense. But Boris Johnson completely nuked his own people. He completely nuked them.
Absolutely.
And I can't figure out why. There may be 100 strands of the thing, but can you talk a little bit as well about that's what I'm saying. And nothing's even been proven, to be honest. So this whole thing is seems very bizarre, very deliberate. And it looks like Boris Johnson is not as smart as some people maybe thought he was, or as clever.
No.
Because it seems to me that he's just fallen into the most obvious of traps. And also, can you address a little bit of as to how this is going to crush the UK economy? Because I'm sure it's going to crush
the UK economy. Yes, let me first of all start with the British economy. I mean, the first thing to say about the British economy is that it depends very heavily on services, financial services and retail services. And so Christmas and the run-up to Christmas is a vital period for the economy. It's a time when, if you know about, you know, gifts and shops and things of this kind, there is a major, massive burst of activity in the run-up to Christmas. That has now been flattened. It's cratered. But of course, the other thing with all these tiers is that it makes normal economic activity of any kind almost all but impossible. The government has essentially stopped subsidizing British businesses in the way that it did during the lockdown in the summer. I ought to say one of the reasons it's not calling this a lockdown is precisely because it doesn't want to commit funds to supporting businesses in that way. And by the way, that's entirely understandable. The deficit now, the budget deficit, is on enormous dimensions. We have seen what is probably a 10% contraction in GDP this year, which is unprecedented. The effect of this tier four lockdown, because that's what it is, which is most likely going to continue at least until March, well, I mean, it boggles the mind. It's going to crush whatever life is left out of the economy. And of course, when it's over, not only will very few things be left, but people are going to be extremely demoralized. And many people, I should say, who supported lockdowns back in the summer, their faith has gone because they see the utterly whimsical and erratic way in which the government is acting, where it tightens one day, loosens the next, then tightens an awful lot more back again. And no one knows how to plan or what to do from one day to another, because from one day to another, the situation may change. I'm being careful in what I say again, because I can't stray into certain more detailed things. But overall, you get the sense of how upset and angry people are, and also what a disastrous effect this is going to have on the economy. As for Boris Johnson, he seems to be on a self-destruct course. It's very strange. It's very difficult to explain or understand. I was reading just before we did this broadcast an article by Nigel Farage in The Telegraph, where it's his bafflement is the same as yours. He too finds it all extremely difficult to understand. Bear in mind that, as we've discussed many times, Farage is a very, very clever and skilled politician who's very close to understanding how people think and feel. So I think he's generally mystified as to why Boris is making all this bizarre accumulation of very strange mistakes. One of the things that Farage makes is that if you're going to impose a deeply unpopular tier 4 lockdown, then at least get some credibility back by hardening your position on Brexit. But instead of doing that, Boris, as we've seen with this concession over fish, seems to be intent on doing the opposite. So I have to say this. I think within a couple of months, we're going to see Boris go. I think we're going to see a major economic contraction in Britain in 2021 also, which I had not thought would be the case previously. And we're going to see a deeply demoralised and sullen and angry population come out of it the other side. And they're going to look around and they're going to find that even the Brexit they were promised hasn't really happened. And they will start to take it out on the political class, not just Boris himself, who will, I suspect, by then be gone, but on all the others too, both the Labour Party and the Conservative Party. The Labour Party, by the way, having been conspicuously absent in the making of any of these decisions.
Yeah, we'll see if they let the people express their dissatisfaction in 2021, given how surveilled everyone's going to be. Well, but just on a side note, you know, we're a major destination in Cyprus for UK tourism, mm-hmm. and the Cyprus government jumped on it right away after mm-hmm. Boris's announcement. Yeah. And I'm sure it was under the orders of the EU to just not have anything to do with travelers from the UK. So I think there's a lot going on here, a lot of politics going on here.
Of course it was. I've absolutely no doubt about it at all. I mean, you had an announcement from the Netherlands, which, of course, bear in mind, is very close to Brussels. And then almost immediately, every other country quickly followed. And this is before there'd been any announcement from the EU itself. And I'm sure that was coordinated by the EU. And they prefer to remain in the background on this one, because they wanted to make it absolutely clear to the British that they were now a pariah with every EU member state. So that's what they did. They orchestrated it, and they did it very effectively and very well. The only thing I would repeat again is that it was Boris who made it possible for them to do it. The EU knew about this variant before. They knew it was circulating in Britain because there'd already been reports about it for some time, and we never had any of these travel bans. And of course, the reality is that it is circulating in Europe already.
Well, I mean, it leads to you have to think of it in two ways then, when I hear what you're saying. Either Boris was involved in this setup and I use the word setup because that's what it seems to me like being here and seeing how this country acted the minute it was announced. It just seemed like the whole thing was just too perfectly coordinated.
Yes.
So either Boris was in on it, or he was advised by people who were in on it, and he's that naive and dumb that he actually went ahead with what I think is probably the stupidest of strategy decisions I've ever seen a leader actually take.
Yes.
Finally, make no mistake about it. I think we are in a state of war. That's what these lockdowns represent to me. I mean, it seems like this is a war that will carry on until 2021. Lockdown open, lockdown open, lockdown open. In my opinion, they're not going to let this thing go. They are not going to let this thing go. And when you say that, you know, it's demoralized, you know, people in the UK, I think that's the point, to demoralize, dehumanize, deflate, and destroy the human spirit at a time when, you know, all we do is talk about and celebrate the human spirit, because they did the same thing, the same exact thing they did during Easter and Pascha. It was a little lighter. It wasn't as strict. But the same time around Pascha, Easter time, they hit us with the same damn lockdowns. That's why I think much of this is specifically timed to demoralize for political purposes, i.e. Brexit, and for other various globalist purposes that I'm sure everyone who's watching this program understands.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to try and analyze Boris Johnson and discuss what he understands and what he knows. My own sense is that he's been badly advised or misadvised or manipulated. I doubt that he is actually operating according to some kind of plan, because I don't get the sense of any kind of plan from him. Others undoubtedly may have plans, and they may be manipulating him. What I will say, the only thing I will say, is that he is not the same man that he was a year ago. And it could be that that illness has had some kind of effect, greater effect than we know. And certainly, as we also know, he's been isolated from his most effective and switched on advisors.
Doesn't that strike you as funny, though? I mean, doesn't that raise some alarm bells that all of this in the past 3 months has happened, and it seems that it's all happening to dispose of Boris Johnson, to get him out of the way? I mean, it seems like all these things, one after another, all leads. It's leading to something.
Well, I'm sure it is. I mean, there's no doubt at all. He's been weakened, and then of course he appeases those, you know, the wolves that are circling around him by casting his advisors away. And of course, all that does is that it makes the wolves scent blood and they close in even further. And I really do get the sense with Boris that he's now capitulating on every front, because he's, to the extent that he's thinking about anything now, it's survival from day to day. When a prime minister gets into that kind of situation, his days are numbered, and I predict Boris will be out of the way very soon. And there is no doubt at all that there is a large section of the Conservative Party and almost the entirety of the British establishment that has been working to that objective from the moment when he first became Prime Minister, just over a year and a half ago. So, you know, that's the way it looks to me with Boris. But on the question of demoralization, what happens with demoralization is, first there is demoralization, then there is anger. And already you can see that too. So, you know, bear in mind that is building up also. At the moment, people are exhausted and tired. This is also a difficult time, Christmas, when people are still connected to their families, to get them to actually start taking steps politically. But that there will be a political backlash over this, I have no doubt whatsoever. In fact, I sense already that it is building. And I know that some Conservative MPs are extremely worried about it. The Labour Party is so split at the moment that really doesn't even count in any political sense.
Alarm bells for Mr. Nigel Farage, because I sense a Brexit going off the tracks.
Well, he wrote a very interesting article in the Telegraph, which was, you know, it didn't discuss all of that, but it shows that he's still around. And as I say, it was basically looking at Johnson and trying to give him advice, which he's clearly not following. One of the problems, by the way, right through, is that it's been very clear that Johnson and Farage don't actually like each other. I mean, Nigel Farage has never been very impressed with any of the pro-Brexit conservatives. And that doesn't just extend to Johnson. It extends to pretty much all the others. And of course, they resent Farage because they are all aware that Farage has come from outside traditional politics and has been far more effective in mobilizing British voters than professional politicians are. We've had some of that problem with the Republicans and Donald Trump. It's the same between conservatives and Farage in Britain. So the result is that pro-Brexit conservatives don't listen to the person who is closest to understanding what is going on the ground, what people are actually saying and thinking when they meet each other or when they WhatsApp each other now and talk to each other over the phones and things of that kind. Whereas Farage has his finger on the pulse. It's people like Johnson and, you know, the others, Gove, Rees-Mogg and the rest, quite simply don't. And that's, I think, the fundamental difference. And unfortunately, the Conservatives are far too proud, obviously, to listen to Farage and to pay any heed to what he says.
Yeah. Well. All right. I think Brexit is going to fall off the track. That's what it's looking to be. Well, we'll see.
There could be a backlash now between now and the new year. But basically, I agree. What will happen thereafter is, of course, another matter. But as I said, there is demoralization. It will affect the economy, but there will also be anger at some point too. And I will also add something else, which is, of course, way back in the spring, early summer, people were very, very observant of lockdowns. I mean, they were widely supported. People took them very seriously. I can remember, I'm sure all British people remember, that every couple of days, there would be an organized event where people would go outside their houses and would cheer and applaud the NHS workers. It was a sign of, you know, massive popular support. And in London, where I was, you could hear it. You could hear, you know, sirens ringing and bells ringing and people shouting and cheering. All that's gone. I mean, that's all that has gone. Both observance of lockdowns has dissipated. Far more people resist them today. And of course, there's nowhere near the goodwill that there was, 7-10 months ago. So that needs to be borne in mind. And as I said, demoralization, yes. Exhaustion, yes. Anger is still coming. It's building up, and I'm sure it will make itself very, very evidently felt within the next few months.
All right, let's see where it ends up. Okay. Unfortunately, I think the EU is going to smell blood.
Well, it has. I mean, as I said, all those travel bans. What else were there?
We'll see what else. We'll see what more they have.
What up their sleeve? Yeah.
Yeah, because Boris is definitely fading.
Yes.
Fading fast.
Yes. I think many people are surprised at how quickly it's happened. I mean, many people, I think, expected also that this challenge of the thing, given that he always poses, you know, as the Churchill's disciple and all of this, would be the making of him, that, you know, he'd rise to the challenge of it. In fact, he's failed utterly.
You know, we talked about, and running a little long, but we talked about how they got to Trump by taking out Flynn. I think a lot of the same applies to Boris Johnson too. Not an exact parallel, not the exact same thing, but, you know, your enemies always, you know, the best way they can strike at you is by isolating you, taking your advisors away, picking them off one by one.
That's right.
If you have one advisor or 10, it doesn't matter. You pick them off one by one, your allies and advisors, They isolate you, and then they really beat you down. I think that's what's happened.
I completely agree with that. I mean, it's clear that he depended and relied on Cummings an awful lot. Now, I should say that I have my own, you know, criticisms to make of Cummings. I think that he was a rather flawed individual, and I think he opened himself up to all kinds of problems. And that dash to Durham that he did earlier in the year during the lockdowns was spectacularly ill-judged and misconceived and did real political damage. So, you know, I don't want to say that Cummings is the, you know, a perfect, flawless person, but he did understand politics and political strategies in a way that Boris has never done. And of course, he was also a manager, which Boris isn't. So just as Trump was severely weakened when he lost Flynn and never perhaps fully recovered his balance after Flynn had gone, the same happened with Boris and Cummings. After Boris, already weakened because of his illness and his own sense of demoralization, when he lost Cummings, he was completely at sea and he folded very fast.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. Guys, go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch, go to the Patriotic Legacy, Durant 20, pick up a Patriotic Legacy, 20% off. You enter the contest as well to win a blue camouflage Patriotic Legacy Beacon 3. Here it is. Whoops. I have another cable. Here is the... I have this USB cable. I don't know what it's doing there. Here's the Patriotic Legacy right here. And the blue camouflage, and you can win a Durant t-shirt. And we'll leave it there. Durant 20, 20% off.
Just to remind you here, I'm drinking from my Durant mug with the flag of Britain. And I've also got my cap with the flag of Britain too. But you can find lots of flags of many countries on all our wonderful merchandise in our shop.
All right. We'll leave it there. Take care, everybody.